Patrick Byrnes, our guest. Patrick, break down this Cash Patel clip we're about to see, and then we're going to play it. Here it is. This is Cash Patel on Sean Hannity.
Remember this. It took me 2 years of my life to prove the following. That a political party in the United States of America in the 21st century would go overseas and hire some bogus intelligence asset to manufacture fraudulent, fake, unverified information, funnel that to not just the intelligence community, but the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and then take those packaged lies that they had paid for with campaign finance funds and go into a secret surveillance court and illegally spy on your opponent to be the next president of the United States. I think that was 45 seconds. That took 2 years of my life. And what did we find out? The FISA court themselves came back and said these warrants were illegal, that the FBI did not provide evidence of exculpatory evidence and innocence, and that the FBI essentially lied in those applications, and all of the information was unverified. So that was step one. But I knew that it didn't stop there. I knew in the 4 years that we were out of office that they continued to regenerate that institution of weaponization. So when I walked in the door, I said, we only got a bit of it. We only got maybe half of it. Because what did we learn in those 4 years, right? That I was illegally spied on by the likes of Rod Rosenstein and Chris Wray and you and 10 other staffers on the Hill and people who are elected to serve this country in the halls of Congress. They were actually continuing the weaponization that Donald Trump and I had exposed during Trump won.
Arctic frost.
And we caught them. So I knew walking in the door the following. These individuals, these purported leaders of law enforcement and government are so arrogant that they write the stuff down themselves to memorialize how great they are. That's how we caught them in Russiagate. It wasn't my documents. It was their emails. It was their FISA application. It was their bogus Steele dossier. It was their unverified reporting that was documented in FBI holdings that we put out and that you covered. So I knew there were other places that that information was hidden. So day one, I set out to find it, and we found it.
So where are the indictments? Everything he says is true, Patrick. Where are the indictments?
Well, this does bother me. It's taken them longer. He's correct. They got less than half of it. He's correct in sensing that. He's groping his way there. There is this big cover-up that's gone on. It kind of angers me because I could have, in the first 30 days, given them everything they needed to find out what was being covered up. It took until just a few months ago, finally, before they turned their guns on me and they wanted to go and really understand in detail the kind of stuff you and I've been talking about on the show. And they're now, they absolutely know that what they have from the Durham report itself is just a very top superficial story. The Durham report, so he's correct in saying he realized that was only, maybe we only got half the story. Let's go find the rest. But they've been kind of tripping over themselves. They weren't, and it was because, well, the prosecutor came out finally in like December and said, I'm being blocked from the CIA to get past this point, get any earlier information. That's why I went to them and said, I'm what they're blocking you from getting to. Let me just lay it out. And here's all the people, everything I had to tell them. I had a name and a telephone number that they could verify each little point. And I gave them the true history of the Russia hoax. Which, and all that's been public so far is this sort of superficial Durham report. There's a much deeper thing, and that's what I'm going to walk you through with great briskness when we come back, the true outline, and you're going to put the facts together, the piece together.
That's right. You put together an amazing PowerPoint, and this is a big deal. People think they've heard all this. You look at Hannity, not to be mean to Hannity, it's recycled 8-9-year-old information. I knew we were being spied on. It's all come out. And then we just sit here and kind of just stay at this one level and then just keep repeating the same thing. But what's the bigger picture and what comes next? I know behind the scenes Trump is saying you will indict them for this. And they just kind of this holding pattern and repeat the same information. Are they covering up or are they just stupid? Patrick Byrnes, our guest, back in 60 seconds. Patrick, where do people find you? What's the best place?
Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Just follow me on Twitter.
Patrick Byrnes. Edit Patrick Byrnes. We'll be right back. I'm at Real Alex Jones on X.
There's a war raging for the future of humanity. We have opened a new front at alexjoneslive.com. They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal. AlexJonesLive.com, the coordinates of freedom.
Do you think I'm going to sell you something that doesn't really work? I always ask people, they never know the answer. Even salesmen, I go, who's the best salesman? The best salesman, a smart salesman, goes and finds what is the hottest, best product that's in demand. It sells itself. I promote freedom. I promote liberty. You are insane if you don't get our ultramethylene blue, the very best out there. You're insane if you don't get our methylene red. You're crazy if you don't do bovine colostrum. You're crazy if you don't take these products. They really work and they fund the operation.
We now take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance, rallying patriots worldwide. You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Well, a true geopolitical expert and a man that gets his hands dirty down in the trenches, Patrick Byrne at Patrick Byrne on X, enemywithin.docuseries.com, is with us. We're getting into, he just joined us, we played a clip of Cash Patel on Hannity a few days ago, saying, oh, we got the Russiagate goods, we know the rest of the story, we're finding a lot more of it. You've created a PowerPoint here to break this down for people and why it's so important. We can bitch about Trump going sideways all day long. You gotta remember, Obama, the globalists, the left, their plans allied with China, Cuba, Venezuela, the bigger picture, Patrick Byrne.
Great, Alex, thank you. And this is very, I've simplified it. Your viewers will be able to follow it very nicely. Can we hit the, it's a number of slides, but there's just a bit, they're very simple slides. Can we just hit the first slide? Let me show you.
All right, first slide.
Of that PowerPoint. And we're going to click through them quickly, and you'll see the pattern before everybody. Okay, here's the Russia hoax timeline, the official timeline. Click. Go ahead, next. Okay, the official timeline is July 20th, Trump's become of 2016, Trump is nominated, and then click. Next slide. August 3rd, Peter Strzok has come out and said, we opened Crossfire Hurricane, became aware of Maria Butina, we opened Crossfire Hurricane. And that's how it all started. That's their story. Click, go to the next. The Durham report covers that. And it says that would happen. It says they over politicized this and that. It's very mealy mouthed. But that's all it covers. But since Cash came back in, since Trump came back in, the next thing is what you've been hearing about the last couple months, this December 19th intelligence community assessment, where Obama first got the ICA that said Russia was not involved in early December 2016. And then he said, make me another one, cook me another one. And they cooked four top guys and a typist sat and created a new ICA that said Russia was involved. And based on that, they started the FBI investigation. That's how the whole thing started. So there's the Durham report level of truth, but then there's that new level of truth that Cash has correctly dug out in the last several months. So that's great. But let me tell you, it's still cover up. They still haven't gotten to the main event. Click. Everything before this date has been a black hole to them. And the reason it's a black, and by the CIA, says the prosecutor. Now, click again. The reason that's been a black hole is there's a cover up. This is what really happened. And here's a piece of information. Listen to it closely, Alex. You're going to see the significance of this quickly. In February 2015, Maria Butina came to the United States the first time. She came with the central bank. Don't click ahead of me, please. Just follow me. Yeah. She came in February 2015 with the central bank of Russia. And this is key. I won't go into too much detail. She went to a luncheon. There was a luncheon that's held every 2 weeks in D.C. with senators and congressmen and staffers. And journalists are invited. They're domestic journalists. Sometimes some foreign journalists from like The Economist show up. Maria, over with the Russian central bank, showed up at that luncheon, asked some questions. She had Russian press credentials, asked some questions. After the luncheon, the organizers of the luncheon got together and said, you know, things are tense with Russia. It made people uncomfortable to have this Russian redhead here. If she comes back in 2 weeks, let's not let her in. And they agreed on that. The next day, the organizer of that conference got a phone call from the FBI saying, we understand what just happened. We've heard you've made the decision not to let this Russian girl Maria back in. We'd prefer you reverse that decision. Let her back in. Don't worry, the FBI's on top of her. We're following her. We're watching everything she does. Go ahead and let her back in. The person from the FBI who made that phone call was Peter Strzok. So if Peter Strzok was calling in February of 2015, doing that to make sure Maria Butina had access and was schmoozing around in these circles in Washington, what does that tell us about the, Alex, what does that tell us about the official Russiagate
story?
That
it's a lot older than we've been told, and I even knew because Judge Arpaio, even during the election, released DEA access to NSA, showing myself, President Trump, and a bunch of others being spied on, including our own personal private fax lines, you name it. So this was going on a long time. They've been watching Trump a long time.
Right. So it's nice that, Trump had cash got past the Durham report and he found this things that happened in December of 2016, but it ain't the main event. It's going on a long time. Now, how did that, why was that going on in February 2015? I have some other inside information from a CIA security whistleblower who got information to me because there was through a lawyer. And this information was, do the next click. John Brennan secretly met with the Russian KGB, which is now called FSB, twice in late 2014, maybe early 2015. He had two.
By the way, I was told 20 years ago or 30 years ago, even back when he was the head of the embassy in Riyadh, that he's been a Russian double agent. Have you ever had that information?
Oh, yeah. Well, he was a communist. He voted for Gus Hall in 1976. He became he's a wannabe. He's an analyst at the CIA. He had never had a post. I actually know the guy who got him the post and sent him to Riyadh just so we could check that off. But he secretly had two meetings, which I've now tipped off the government to exactly who to go and verifying it. He had two secret meetings with the Russian FSB in late 2014. Then February 2015, you have Maria at this luncheon and they want to keep her out. And the FBI, Peter Strzok, tells them, no, Maria, go ahead and let Maria in. We'll do this. That suggests to me that Brennan was secretly setting this up, maybe with Russian connivance in late 2014. It was certainly running by early 2015. Then what happens is, click, the next one is I meet her in July of 2015, click. This whole set of things happened between us that are explained in this book, Danger Close. I figure out what I'm in the middle of, that what they are doing is setting up a coup. They also had me bribe Hillary Clinton. I've walked you through that story. So, but after I successfully bribed her, it turned out to be, so they weren't going to prosecute. They let me know they were just going to keep Hillary Clinton on a Bunsen burner that Barack Obama controlled while she was in office. So that's the true timeline. There was a coup that started in 2014 or early 2015 by Barack and Brennan and Comey to take over the next government, whether it was Hillary, whether it was a Republican.
So it's basic opposition research, and they've got Trump's phones tapped. They know he's looking to run. They're listening to Roger Stone. They know all this because I got the stuff from Arpaio. They were spying on me. I was declared a national security threat in 2013. They had the whole Boston office of the FBI that was declassified last year spying on me, trying to find something. So it was crazy with their predictive programming. They're really smart, actually. Why don't they just bet on freedom? That they were already looking at all the players way before I knew how important I was. They already decided I was important.
Correct. Let me show you one more slide. Go back to that slide. Let me show you the last thing to add is the last thing is, well, the last two things is Trump came, well, I tried to put a stick in the wheels here. That's the whole rape murder thing. I'm told the secret, the biggest secret in the U.S. government under Biden that they were trying to figure out how to handle is how to handle it when it comes out that Barack Obama, James Comey, and John Brennan, I put them in the position of they had to sign off on, I told them that I had drugged Maria and questioned her. They were okay with that.
By the way, it's on record you brought down the Russian spy and did all that. But people don't know the history. Like, you're on record the guy that did that.
Yeah. And then lastly, Donald Trump is where, this is where he comes down an escalator. The point is, this was all running before Donald Trump ever announced for president. Barack Obama was setting up a coup to take over the United States government from whoever his successor was, whether it be Hillary or Cruz, Rubio, or Trump. And this all was going on before Trump came down the escalator.
It's called opposition research. They were doing the field.
Well, this is called soft coup. I would call this a soft coup. When you're setting up, they were setting this all up.
No, obviously it's about a coup, but I'm just saying they were studying all the different players.
Yeah. And they were compromising. They were compromising Hillary. That's the whole point of having me bribe her turned out to be not to prosecute her, but so that they would control her. So this is a soft coup that really started in 2015 from Barack Obama and John Brennan. And it's not a theory. It's not me. I was part of it. I was in the middle of it. So it's not a theory. And that's the true organization.
Well, let me ask you this question now, because everybody's been beat to death with Russiagate. They recycle the same old stuff. This is all new today. But I guarantee, I know the listeners, they're great. But even I'm like, I've already known about this. I've experienced it. So I've never seen anything done. Why do I care? Because you're bringing all the new information. What should Trump and Cash Patel be doing?
Well, first, we have to understand this is a this is World War III. It's a type of warfare which the United States is not great. And Michael Flynn is like the professor of this type of warfare, of espionage.
Full spectrum.
Full spectrum. And what we really need is to understand this as a Bolshevik revolution or whatever you want to call it. And I would have thought we put together, we have a team in the government who addresses this as a revolution and all aspects from the...
it's a globalist revolution to overthrow the Western capitalism. And it goes through the academia, systems, everywhere. It's ideological. You have to see it as an ideology to oppose it. You can't like see it as an army. It's an ideology you oppose.
And it includes the election fraud. It includes the Trenda Aragua and the Cartel de Sol. It includes the Hillary bribe, the Russia hoax that was all set up. It's one package. Trump came in and he tried to get a special unit formed to go after it. And he signed the right pieces of paper, and the deep state blocked funding and blocked personnel. And that slowed things down a couple months.
Let me float this, because I remember hearing this at the time for Army Special Operations Command, and I didn't ever talk to Eric Prince about this, but I've talked to him some. But I heard Trump tried to draft Eric Prince to come in early on, but it got killed.
I know that Eric Prince wants to go in. I didn't know whether Trump wanted him or how he got killed. I knew that he wanted to get in. But it's not just an – it's more of a Mike Flynn thing. It's an espionage thing rather than an Eric Prince thing. It's so many different layers of espionage, and it's a hall of mirrors. But the key point is this is got to be understood comprehensively as a coup that began – I was pulled into it in Thanksgiving 2015 unwittingly. It was running since early 2015 at least – and it has to be addressed as this comprehensive package. I know, and that's why. And so I've done some defense of Trump. I'll give you some criticism of Trump. Yeah, he did the right. He signed the right things when he came in to get this going, but he didn't. He let the deep state defeat him for months.
Well, we just saw 2 weeks ago, OMG Media has two top officials saying Trump's the enemy. We ignore him. He says do something. We do the opposite. So all these people, when I criticize Trump because people in his administration aren't doing what he said, they think I'm criticizing him. No, a bunch of these people, it was worse before. They do whatever they want.
Yes. Yes. But it's also his fault in the sense of the people he appointed. He didn't get prosecutors. He got Trump has trust issues.
Let me ask you this. What is Todd Blanche? Who is Todd Blanche? What is his MO?
Todd Blanche is a guy who defended him in one of his cases in New York. I forget which one it was. It was either the...
He did the Florida Mar-a-Lago raid, too. Yeah, no, we know he's a Democrat lawyer. We know he's Trump's lawyer, but what the hell's up with Blanche?
Great question. I thought all along Blanche was, and I heard that he was slowing things down. But then this thing happens where Pam Bondi gets fired, and her last conversation with Trump in a limousine was evidently her pleading, just give me to this summer, just give me to this summer. So maybe it's the case that there were all these things coming along and she just wanted to stick around until they came out so she could take credit before she left. Or it may be the case that they've been there, but she's been sitting on them, not letting them go.
But it does seem like a logjam ended when she left, or maybe Blanche convinced Trump it was her, because I was told by DOJ it was Blanche sitting on top of it all.
I was told by that in multiple places that it was Blanche sitting on top of it. But maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was Pam, or maybe it was both of them. But then when he fires Pam and he says, Blanche, you got to do this, Blanche says, yes, sir, and finally stops sitting on it. So all this stuff is burping out. So here's this great example is I think I sent the indictment of a guy January 14th.
Yeah, I got it right here. Indictment? I got it right here. Overhead shot, guys.
Alex Saab. This is a big one. Alex Saab is the bookkeeper for the cartel. And he got it. So Maduro got picked up January 3rd of this year. 11 days later, his bookkeeper gets an indictment. Now, and what's key is look at the top of this. He's not, even though Maduro is up in New York and was talking to folks in New York, the indictment is in the Miami jury. Well, the Miami prosecutor, that's the one who's handling Smartmatic. So this is a positive sign. It's starting to look like this guy who's handling the Smartmatic indictment is getting Dominion, is getting Venezuela, is getting all this other stuff moved under him. So we will finally have that one central place who's responded to this Bolshevik revolution as a package revolution and not sort of the piece by piece way that it's been handled across the federal government so far. So I think it's a very promising thing that it's Miami, that this guy not only got indicted and extradited, but it's not being handled in New York. It's being handled by the same prosecutor in Miami who's handling the whole Smartmatic bribe the Philippines and stole the 2016.
Sure. So let's do something theoretical here. Just as an American citizen, a smart guy, business owner, you name it, you know, billionaire CEO. The power blocks. How is the Democrat deep state feeling right now? What's Obama thinking right now? I mean, how is their organization? How much has it been degraded? We know Trump didn't cut off many of their tentacles the first administration. He's cut off quite a bit of it now. Replace it with some bad people, some good people. But how? What's the gestalt? I mean, no, it's a dead reckoning. But what is the deep state thinking right now?
The deep state is it is getting broken up. He didn't do it as aggressively as he should have. Flynn says he should have gone in. You know, Flynn says he should have gone in. There's about 3,000 people he needed to fire the first day. But didn't do that. But they've been degrading the deep state. I think the deep state's in the position of knowing they've got to go for broke. They have to go for broke because there's nowhere they can run. Other countries won't take them, incidentally. Other countries that people wanted to go to, they're not going to get in front of this. So they're going to go for broke. And I'm afraid it's going to start this summer. And we're going to have a summer of love that makes 2020 look like a tea party is what I'm afraid of, because they have to go for broke. Or else they swing.
And you're talking about asymmetrical warfare, riots. What will Soros and the globalist combine do to derail this?
Well, what we saw happen in 2020, ultimately, the nature of this kind of revolution is to become ungovernable. You make your society ungovernable, and you give the people the idea, well, the way out of this horrible situation we're in is if we have a change of government, that's the way out of it. And so it really is you're making your society as ungovernable as possible. And that's how you kind of trick the population into saying, well, anything's better than this, we'll go for the alternative. So I think that we should be prepared for, you know, they want to make 2026 the summer even crazier than 2020, but they have been degraded. They've been degraded. I know that they're degraded and they are. They're scrambling because the resources that they had before are getting cut off. So many of the resources. We know that Venezuela was funding George Soros, who was funding this craziness. A lot of that stuff is being snipped up. Act Blue, all that's under such scrutiny. It's making it harder and harder for them to do what they want to do.
But you're saying as a cornered rat, what do they do? Just create a race riot, burn everything down?
If they can. They know there's no future for them when this gets it's very easy to expose. When I went in, I told them, I'm surprised it's so long. I'll give you the exact name. You talk to them. You confirm everything I said. This is a coup. I was part of it. It started in 2015, and it needs to be addressed that way. So I think that everything is out. I know that some people in the federal government have the details of everything I've described to you. So I don't know how much has been absorbed and digested. I think it has, and I think that may be why Cash is talking about realizing that this Durham report, the Durham report's nowhere near the full story. They've added this new thing on it about what happened in December of 2016, but what they really need to get to is what happened, everything before that vertical red line I showed you, everything that happened before mid-2016 is where the coup really got started, and it's very easy to verify. I gave them the names. I'll tell you how Durham missed this. Here's something I've never revealed publicly. They told me at first, they said, I don't want to describe too much of our conversation, but I'll say one point. They said, we're not really too more interested in the early stages of the Russia hoax. I mean, we know John Durham looked into everything and what he wrote was written, and that's kind of sealed and, you know, set in stone, and nobody really wants to revisit that. And I said, fellas, you're falling for the cover-up. This is what really happened. There's one person who can verify everything I'm saying in here. That one person has diplomatic status and so doesn't have to be questioned. But he, when I first went in and started going public about this stuff 6 years ago, the CIA inspector general and people from the Durham inspectors went to meet the person who was the one person who could verify everything I was saying. But the guy didn't have to meet with them because he's in the diplomatic community. And he tells me that they sat with him and said, so this is the investigators from the Durham Commission. Do you want to talk to them? You have the legal right not to, but do you want to talk to them? And the guy said, well, do I want to talk to them? No, but I'm willing to talk to him and explain what happened. And that they said, no, you don't want to talk to them. That's fine. We'll put down that you declined to talk to them. So if you look in the Durham Commission report, there's actually a footnote in there about there were allegations of Hillary Clinton taking a bribe and some other stuff, but we weren't able to run these leads down. Well, they weren't able to run them down because when they got to the guy who could confirm the whole thing, they let him off the hook. They said, do you want to talk to us? And he said, well, do I want to talk? No, but I'll tell you everything. And they said, no.
Oh, that's all important history, and you're always dead on about it and very important. I want to go to break in a few more minutes with you. You can stay and talk about the midterms coming up in 6 months, what the Democrats are going to do, what you think of Thomas Massie, where you see all this going, because this is a really, really important time to be alive. But just briefly going back to this, I don't see how Kash Patel and people are that stupid, because I knew all this stuff just like you did back at the time we experienced it. Of the spying, of all of it. Obviously, it goes way back in 2015. And before that, I've gotten the document from the White House, you know, that was being targeted by Obama in 2013. So I think Trump's patience with Todd Blanche is going to wear out, just like it did with Bondi, very quickly. Who do we advise Trump, or who would Trump put in as an AG that would take action?
Well, I love Peter Tichtin. And I love Stephanie Lambert. I can tell you that after I went in late January and walked them through finally in great detail everything I've explained to you, about 2 weeks later, it was announced that a bunch of new people from the FBI had broken and are now cooperating and telling everything. I would not be surprised if what happened was after I went in and was finally able to lay it out, painstaking detail, and it all clicked, that when they went and talked to the right people, that's when those people finally came. But 2 weeks, if you look back to February of this year, there were reports of a whole new bunch of people from the FBI coming forward with the truth about the true origins of the Russia hoax. I think that's when my story finally got confirmed, was February of this year. And it may have been driven by those conversations.
Absolutely. You were there on record. It all happened. We got new statements by Trump on Iran, Cuba, and more. We'll get Patrick Byrne's take on that straight ahead, and then a bunch of other news I haven't hit yet. Stay with us and follow me on the next Roll Off Shows and on Rumble at rumble.com/Yelsho Show Live. We have to get more people hired. We have to finish the new big studios. We have to have our legal defense and offense, and we have to move forward. So now is the time. Have we not delivered to you in the fight against tyranny? Have you not delivered supporting us as Symbiotic? A win-win situation. Like he says in Gladiator after he chops up, you know, the four guys just a few seconds. He says, Are you not entertained? Are you not entertained? And I say, are you not empowered? Are the tyrants not scared? Are they not coming after me and my crew? You want somebody to fight? You want somebody to stand up for you? Well, then you got to back them. And those that have backed us, I salute you from the bottom of my heart. And those that have shared the articles and videos, that's great. But it's different classes of people. There's people that tune in and get the knowledge, but are scared or lazy or whatever. Then there's people that at least share the articles and videos and Paul Revere it. We appreciate you. Okay? So you got like copper, you know, on the bottom. At least you listen, but I hope people learn from this through osmosis or something. Then you got the silver folks that at least share the articles and videos to wake up other people. And then you got the gold standard, the people that do it all and the people that get great products that are smart enough to say, wow, this guy really knows what he's talking about. I believe him. He'd only sell me something that works. And then they try it. We have a 90%+ reorder rate with supplements because I wouldn't sell you something that doesn't work. I'm not stupid. That's why I don't serve evil. I know the second, third, fourth order events of it will destroy me. Plus, I don't like it. I don't enjoy it. I feel good being truthful. I feel good being honest. I feel good stomping tyrants politically into the ground nonviolently. Slashing their throats nonviolently. Stabbing ice picks in their heads nonviolently. Cutting their heads off nonviolently. Ripping their entrails out politically nonviolently. I like just breaking their bones and grinding them down to make my bread. Fee-fi-fo-fum. I smell the blood of satanic globalist scum. Be they alive or be they dead, I'll grind their bones to make my bread. You want somebody to fight for you? Well, you better believe you got it. The real McCoy. The spirit of resistance and victory. And they know it, and it's why they fear it. And if you will simply join me and ask God for this spirit to lead, God, and direct us, the spirit that overcomes, God doesn't give us over a spirit of weakness and fear, but one is a roaring lion that conquers, that destroys tyrants, that overcometh. And when the enemy comes in like a flood, the spirit of the Lord lifts up a standard against it. And we are the crucible. We are the shield of the people. We are the standard. We have the spirit. We have the will. But we have to have no fear and commit to this fight. Give me your word of mouth. Give me your prayers to God for our providence and support, because if God be with us, who can stand against us? And financially support us now at thealexjonesstore.com. Become a VIP. Cancel any time. It's no commitment. You just get all the best deals. $30 a month spend, instantly $40 to buy whatever you want. You make 10 bucks right there. Special offers, sales on top of sales for everybody, and special offers at thealexjonesstore.com. Commit. Be a VIP. You can also donate on the site at the donate button. Just take action now. But those of you that have supported us, you know who you are, and I thank you from the bottom of my soul.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time.
Here's a big question. Why is all this crazy stuff happening now? Patrick Byrne, really smart guy, founder of Overstock, doesn't work for the U.S. government, secret clandestine operations. Why are so many things racing now? Why is there so much jockeying by governments and groups? AI coming, you know, to the fore. How would you, if you're like a historian 50 years in the future, looking back at where we are now, why is there so much change happening? Why is there so much concern?
Boy, gosh, that's a great question, Alex. That's a great question. I think that there was always a sense that 2020 was the great global shakeup. I know in the American intelligence community, without saying too much, which I probably already am, that there was a belief that China reached the apogee of its power in 2020. They knew that perhaps it was population of its relative GDP to us, et cetera. And they went all in. They built an enormous debt to GDP ratio. So they really, leading up to 2020, in those 15 years, it looks very much like they prepared their great break on us as 2020. Meanwhile, I think that 2020 was supposed to be the time that the whole global order got put in a box and shaken up and something completely new came out of it. And we disrupted that. And we didn't play our part because the 2020 election happened as part of that bigger picture. And we didn't go down. It's the first color revolution in history that didn't win. And I think they didn't win because of Michael Flynn. Michael Flynn called me in March of 2021 and he said, you know, they've stolen the White House. They've got the court system. They've Congress. They've stolen everything but the American people. Patrick, you moved to Florida and I'm going to show you how we build a movement together. And if he hadn't done that, I don't think we would ever have recovered. Normally, color revolutions are over the late in 5 or 6 months at the most. By the time we got 5 months into ours, which was June 2021, we had this whole movement and you were part of it up. You know, we were up and on the toes and moving forward rather than going under. And I think that was Mike Flynn personally. So, but I think that you could go back 20 years and you will see that there was in national planning, even public documents, this idea that 2020 was going to be the go for broke. And that's when China was at its apogee of its relative power versus us. All we have to do now, we don't have to go to war against China. This is what I love. We can kind of
We just got to hang on and persevere. We win.
Time's our friend. Their internal contradictions, as Mao would put it, are revealing themselves and it's unraveling. So the last thing we need to do is go physically, kinetically fight with China. We just have to keep on our feet and they're bleeding out. And I don't believe so. I think that's why things are happening. There's such a conjunction.
So should Trump cut Taiwan loose? Because if Trump said, fine, have Taiwan, China might actually back off because they want the political threat of us saying we want it. Or would they still go into Taiwan?
They would take it. He shouldn't cut them loose. They've been great allies, great friends, huge amount of intellectual capital. You know, I'd like to see Taiwan absorb mainland China. No, he shouldn't. He shouldn't cut them loose.
I wasn't saying to you that. I was asking the question.
No, I think he should not.
So
I
what's
think
the real geopolitical lay of the land? Where's Ukraine going? Where do you think Iran's going to go? How does all this play together?
I think getting us into this Ukraine war was part of the overthrow. This Ukraine war has never made any sense. I grew up under some very hardline generals, a guy named Jack Vesey, and he took me to see Kissinger and Schultz one time, and they were in 2015, they were in complete agreement. It's the craziest thing in the world to start World War III over Ukraine. It should be a neutral Finland, et cetera. But for some reason, since 2015, the Clinton, the Obama, the Bushies, all the American establishment has just been so keen that we got to get in a fight.
That drives Russia into the hands of China and BRICS and bolsters them.
And the truth is, I hate to say it, but Ukraine started that. I mean, I'm no friend of Putin and so on and so forth. But everyone says the Ukraine war started on February 24th of 2022. It didn't start February 24th. A week earlier, Zelensky started shelling the villages in eastern Ukraine that have a lot of Russians. He killed about 8,000 of them. So he put Putin in the position that, of course, he was going to. So we deliberately tripped. Biden deliberately triggered that war. I don't know. I think there's some deeper plan. I think that ultimately, and you know probably more about this than me, there may be a plan to eliminate Ukraine as a country and have it emerge as the new capital of the new global state that was supposed to emerge. And it had to be like Dubai, and they were going to consolidate the UN, the WHO, the EU. Everybody would get consolidated.
Yeah, they want to make it like a UN-controlled zone and then have a Marshall Plan to pump a bunch of money into it.
Yeah, and I think BlackRock got a $500 billion rebuilding budget. I think the plan all along may have been to destroy Ukraine as a country, and instead it's going to emerge as these new globalist headquarters.
That's right. NATO came out of the Marshall Plan. They actually have said that. That's their plan. I mean, when you say Ukraine, just the black hole of Ukraine would set up this new international order. Now the EU unelected commission wants to be totally federalized, get rid of the last vestiges of sovereignty. I mean, clearly, I think the EU is the new Soviet Union.
Correct. And it's the new Soviet Union. I think it was built to morph and grow into world headquarters of the globalist empire. And it's not going to be in Brussels. It's not even going to be in Switzerland. It was going to be, and all these international institutions would collapse.
And that's my next question. With the way the global order is now shot into pieces, people say a new world order is coming. It doesn't mean we're doing a new world order. It means there's a new order forming. What are the pieces? How do you see them coming together?
The Americas. We have to be about the Americas. It's to our shame that after all these years, there's not a road that connects Alaska to Tierra del Fuego. There's not a railway. At least the Chinese, with their Road and Belt initiatives, were trying to integrate all these societies. you know, there's still a 40-mile gap in the Darien Gap. That's not so. We ought to focus on the Americas. Throw the communists out, which I think they're hanging by a thread. If we get through Venezuela and Cuba, and when you find out all the lefty politicians for a generation who've been paid off, Latin Americans are going to be shocked. Every heroic lefty like Danny Ortega, they've gotten hundreds of millions of dollars from the cartel. The cartel of Venezuela has corrupted the whole continent. When we get rid of them, we ought to have our Belt and Road Initiative and focus on making the Americas great again. And maybe some of these other globalist institutions like NATO, like Europe, you know, certainly the UN. I've got no favor for the UN anymore. But we should be focusing on the Americas, I think, if and when we get through this, and focusing on raising the standard of living. But I believe in nation states. There's nobody. I want nation states. I want the United States. We have enough trouble managing our own business, trying to, let alone, you know, reorganize the world. So we want nation states in the future, because if you have a globalist world, as Mark Stein said, in a globalist world, if you don't like your government, where do you move? When there's a one world government, there's nowhere to move. So we cannot have a one world government. We keep the nation states. And I think we can come through this better than anybody, better off than anybody. There's no country better positioned. So the globalist order is breaking down. The fair trade is breaking down. There's no nation better prepared on earth to go it alone and see a collapse in international trade than the United States. The United States' share of its GDP that is devoted to the trade is smaller than, I think, any industrial country. We have a great internal river system. We are better prepared than any country in the world to have an isolated economy if we have to. But what's gone on is so many people have been free riding on us for generations. And we maintain this national global, you know, peace and the oceans and so on and so forth. And all the other nations count on us to do that. And they just kind of free ride on us. It's maybe enough of that. It didn't work, or it worked long enough. And I think you will see the global trading blocks emerge. So it's not one global trading bloc, but there'll be the Chinese-oriented trading bloc and the American-centered one. And you know what? Anyone in their right mind is going to defect from the China and join ours. In fact, BRICS, you may even see BRICS melt down. Because if we get our stuff together, if we get our act together, it won't make any sense for people to defect from the American order over to the BRICS order. Have you heard any news about maybe, like, even Russia may give up on the BRICS if we come through this?
I mean, Putin said he'll give us $35 trillion in rare earth minerals if we just make a deal with them. I mean, they want to deal with us. They've been trying that since 1991.
We should do that. You know, this great general, Vesey, who influenced me so much, and he was Ronald Reagan's chairman of the Joint Chiefs twice. Impeccable hawk credentials. You don't get more hawk than that. World War II veteran, same with Schultz, same with Kissinger. And people who actually have fought in wars are like this. Vesey used to tell me any world where Russia, China, and the U.S. get along is better than any world where we don't get along. And anyone who lived through World War II understands that, Patrick. But you have in Washington a bunch of chicken hawks, a bunch of intellectuals. They've written papers about war. They're sissy. It's not them fighting it. And I've been around these communities. You know, I'm used to be on the Council on Foreign Relations. I haven't been involved for 20 years. I probably haven't been in the door. But you have all these intellectuals with their theories of how to organize the world. And we got to put all that behind us. And so anyway, I'll stop there. I could go on.
No, I totally agree with you. And I want to play a clip here. Now, this is really important. This is because now all this AI is in the news. And here's Oracle's Larry Ellison. Citizens will be on their best behavior with AI surveillance systems. This is him like 5 years ago. Then a year and a half ago talks about, oh, we're going to have mRNA with AI, not knowing that all this is super unpopular, what he's saying. Then you have the companies hyping up AIs into the world to act like it's so powerful for their you know, offerings of, you know, buying stock in it. I want to get your real take on what AI is going to do, because you're a former tech company head and an engineer. Here's two clips of Ellison.
Citizens will be on their best behavior, because we're constantly recording and reporting everything that's going on. And it's unimpeachable. The cars have camera, you know, cameras on them. We have a squad car here someplace. But those kind of applications using AI, we can use AI, and we're using AI to monitor the video. So if that altercation had occurred, that occurred in Memphis, the chief of police would be immediately notified. It's not people that are looking at those cameras. It's AI that's looking at the cameras. No, no, no. You can't do this. It would be like a shooting. That's going to be immediately, that's going to be an event that's immediately, an alarm's going to go off. It's going to be, and we're going to have supervision. In other words, every police officer is going to be supervised at all times. Design a vaccine for every individual person to vaccinate them against that cancer. And you can make that vaccine, that mRNA vaccine, you can make that robotically, again, using AI in about 48 hours. So imagine early cancer detection, the development of a cancer vaccine for your particular cancer aimed at you, and have that vaccine available in 48 hours. This is the promise of AI and the promise of the future.
So that's some dystopic clips that just resurfaced of him. I was going to cover this for like an hour today. I'll do it tomorrow because we got another guest coming up. But I'm not against technology, but who watches the watchers? Who programs the AI of what's desirable behavior? When they have another lockdown or another cover release. How do you respond to that?
Well asked. What I respond is, first of all, and this is public information if you dig deep enough, or I'm of the belief that Larry Ellison is former agency, and the agency invented the database, and then they spun it off with Larry Ellison to commercialize it, but it was actually a CIA creation, and it was spun off, and that's how Ellison got going, out of the CIA. So his sympathies are CIA, and listen, the top of the CIA is all deep state. It's various factions of deep state that compete with each other, but it's deep state. So I don't want to take his intuitions on any of this. I think his instincts may not be admirable. So that's what I think of him. I think that we do have to remember, and I know it's in the news so much that everyone's talking about, as you say, the Jews, they just, Candace, they just focus on it. We have to be more granular when we think about Israel. Oh, it is, yeah. So it is in the public. And that's 2014. I want to close at least on this thought that we have to be more granular when we think of Israel and the Jewish folk in general. Israel has a deep state and it's loyal to a guy named Ehud Barak. I think that, and we know, because we have the videos, there were Zoom calls going on in 2020 where you had Antifa and BLM, hundreds of them, in calls with people from our federal government, who were telling them how to organize, how to be prepared for this, how to be prepared for that. There were even classes on how to defeat election security machines, how to break the seal without showing it. These were being held on Zoom calls. In some of those Zoom calls, there were not only American deep state officials present, we have all the videos, that not only American deep state officials present, there were occasionally Israeli deep state officials present, people tied to this guy, Ehud Barak. I hate to sound like the protocols of the elders of Zion, but what we've gone through in the last 6 years, there was an Israeli hand. But don't talk about, it's not Israel, it's not the Jews, it's the Ehud Barak Jews of Israel.
Well, that's right. We always talk about Netanyahu all day, but nobody talks about the real old power structure. Goes back to Ehud Barak and Yitzhak Rabin before that, and that's who the Rothschilds are allied with. Because isn't there a fight with the Rothschilds and Netanyahu, at least on the surface?
Absolutely, and it's not on the surface. It's for real. In fact, the Rothschild faction, the Rothschild faction, is, and this gets really inside baseball about Judaism. I'm not
going to. Go ahead. I'm following. Go ahead. Tell people that don't know.
Well, there is a faction, and they're very much against Netanyahu. So, for example, you take October 7th. Anybody with a brain in their head knows there's no way that October 7th could have happened without a stand down order. But people jump from that to assuming Netanyahu gave the stand down order. I think there's much more evidence that what happened is, Netanyahu is trying to reform Israel.
Netanyahu said it was the IDF, and then they said apologize. He said, we'll table this till later.
Yes. Well, before October 7th, Netanyahu was trying to do this judicial reform, which basically is the Rothschilds Jews have God mode in Israel. The Supreme Court of Israel can sort of overrule everything. No checks and balances. Netanyahu wanted to change that. There was a leader a woman married to the head of one of the top guys at Shin Bet, which is like the FBI of Israel, a woman named Shikma Bressler. She was leading the protests against Netanyahu, which turned out all have been funded by our State Department. Our State Department was funding the color revolution in Israel against Netanyahu. She said in late August 2023, if you go forward with this, Netanyahu, you're going to go blind. And I'm speaking for 1,200 intelligence officers across the military and civilian. You're going to go blind. Well, a couple of weeks later, Netanyahu got a mild judicial reform done. And then a few weeks after that, October 7th happened. My guess would be that it was the Israeli deep state gave the stand down order on October 7th. And we've talked about this. And they were deliberately created.
Sure. And Ehud Barak's the main one implicated in Epstein. So then why has Trump gone along with trying to suppress that if he's allied with Netanyahu? Because it's not about Netanyahu, good or bad, folks. What Patrick is saying is the real battle lines, the two big factions there in Israel, the Rothschilds that set up Israel in 47, 48, and they do control the Supreme Court. That's all true. And so Netanyahu, you say he wants determination himself to be in charge or wants Israel to be. It's not about judgment on Netanyahu, good or bad, but what you're saying is the truth.
No, it is the truth. Yeah.
So how's it playing out between the Rothschilds and Netanyahu?
Well, they're in some kind of death struggle. They're in some kind of death struggle. I think you're going to find, I have a strong hint that you're going to get the rest of the Epstein tapes before the election. And when the rest of the Epstein stuff comes out, it's going to be a stake through the heart of the Democratic Party. I'll tell you that 89% of the perpetrators so far in that I count from the Epstein stuff have been Jewish. You're going to find if there's a lot more that gets revealed before the election, and I think there is, it's going to destroy the rest of the Democratic Party. I'd say the Democrat, and not just the Jewish Democrat, the Democratic Party is I think they're going to release more Epstein just before the
election. Are you saying Trump's been holding it back till right before the midterms?
I don't know, but that could be.
Because he did bring in a bunch of former Ehud Barak minions. That's my issue. But I mean, of course, to me, I'm like, Trump's not in there. We've studied it. You attack them. It's almost all Democrats. So why not hit him with it?
Maybe his timing. Maybe. I don't know. I actually have this from elsewhere outside the administration that this is what's coming down the pike. You are going to see another 3 million things. And it's the bad stuff. What you've seen so far ain't the bad stuff. What you're about to see is the bad stuff.
Well, the cannibalism, the sex slaves, that's not even the bad stuff.
Well, there's just a lot more.
No, you're saying it's even worse. So what are you hearing is in there?
Well, it's more who. You're going to be hearing who. I've been told, I'll tell you this, that 3,500 elites from around the world, from royalty to bankers, congressmen, parliamentarians from Europe, world, UN types, but there's 3,500 people from around the world in those tapes that have been compromised. And some of them did it just because they needed the promotion, like the people who went to the P. Diddy stuff. And some of them were really willing to eat baby brains or have sex with children just because they wanted to. But the global elite is implicated, and you're going to see just before the election, the names finally really get revealed.
Well, I've known the whole time the Democrats, they're big specialties, as Republicans to a certain extent, but we knew this. So that's why it was so crazy to watch them double down and say release all this stuff, but then we know it implicates them. Wow, so you're saying it's about to backfire.
And it reminds me of something Buffett said to me once. When I went to him and told him the story that's in this book, and Buffett said, you got to come public, Patrick. The analysis is eventually the country has to know. And given that eventually the country has to know the truth, the sooner they know the truth, the better, so we can get through and start healing. So I think it would have been smarter to just get everything out about Epstein. But I hear from other quarters, not from the U.S. government, but from other corners of the world, that what's coming down the pike is the rest of the stuff gets released before the election.
Wow. All right. So last question. What's the timetable? I mean, we heard right close to meeting with the, now you don't trust him, I don't either. We covered the stuff earlier when he was at Tulsi's job, the first administration is from. But he's been meeting with the Cuban leadership, minus Raul, who's not in power anymore. They've indicted Raul as kind of the excuse to go in. Are we talking a ground invasion, or does the Cuba stand down and make a deal with us like Venezuela? What happens?
I think it's more likely that they'll stand down with a, you know, Trump may have a whole new model of regime change that doesn't, that involves, you know, a lot of pressure, some carrots and sticks. And what, you know, the fact that we got through Venezuela without really a war is to be admired. And maybe it's going to be the same thing with Cuba. And then once he gets somebody that's more, I think it's reported this morning that they were trying to get Ahmadinejad installed in Iran. I don't know if it's true, but it could be a new model of regime change that you, and what he's done with Delsi. And
when you say new model, I'm not saying we're Nazis, but to use the analogy, they got 80%+ of the French military to stand down so the Germans could win, running over the Maginot Line and driving out the expeditionary force, the British. And then they put the French in charge out of Vichy France in the south. So a new model back to the old model, don't have to have a full regime change. You just get the old regime to stand down and come in and work for us.
And then once you have your Vichy, then you keep on prep. You can work with them. But anything that avoids a war like we had in Iraq, an insurgency is to be preferred.
All right. Powerful interview, Patrick. Thank you for giving us these exclusive, amazing information. Patrick Byrne, B-Y-R-N-E on X. Patrick Byrne, enemywithin.com. The book, the films, all of it. Thank you, Patrick. Amazing interview.
Congrats on your new show, Alex.
Well, thank you. The show's doing well, but we're at alexjoneslive.com. That's the new site, the feeds. That's the new, you know, site. InfoWars is gone. Alexjoneslive.com. Thanks to the listeners. Keep us on there. Thank you, Patrick. And yeah, speaking of that, I got Jason Burmese coming up. We'll be interviewing him, getting all the other news we haven't hit yet. Please support the broadcast. You're the funders of it. This is your whole shooting match. You built this. This is yours. We're just going to cover the news. We're going to hit it hard, fearlessly. That's what we do. We call balls and strikes. I cannot do this broadcast without you. Please share the articles, the videos at alexjoneslive.com, and please go to the alexjonesstore.com. Now, the good news is these cool Faraday cage RFID wallets are really awesome, and people love them. The bad news is they only ordered a little bit of them, so they're going to sell it probably by tomorrow. But that's okay. By tomorrow night at midnight, we end this buy one, get one free sale. It's massive. Get any of the methylene blue, ultra methylene blue tincture. Get another bottle free. Get the T3 very best, cleanest iodine that does amazing things to your body. Buy one, get one free. Or mix and match. Get one T3, get iodine, and then you get the methylene blue, or vice versa. TheAlexJonesStore.com. I want to thank those who have supported. I want to encourage those that have been supported to take action now. These products really work. A 90%+ reorder rate on T3 Methylene Blue because they really work. They will change your life. You're missing out if you don't get them. Our products are just like our information, the very best out there. TheAlexJonesStore.com. All right. I got a report on the election fraud in Kentucky, and then Jason Burmese takes over.
They thought they could silence us. They thought they could drive us off the air. They failed. We are back, stronger, louder, unbroken. Find the feeds, hear the broadcast, share the signal at alexjoneslive.com. alexjoneslive.com. We've only just begun to fight.
So much work goes into this, and it's all funded by you going to the alexjonesstore.com. So this is a fundraiser time right now. We need to be raising funds because we are launching into the next stage of our, you know, rocket trip. We've shed one booster and now the new one's firing up, and we need you to fill our tank and give us the fuel to get to that next level. So please do go to thealexjonesstore.com. There is a mega sale going on right now. You're getting 40% off methylene blue tincture, methylene blue caps, ultra DNA revival, Shilajit caps and gummies, up to 35% off methylene red tincture, colostrum, and MK Ultra, and you're getting 30% off all apparel, shirts, hats, hoodies, and everything else. You know, what we sell you at thealexjonesstore.com are just like these amazing naturally occurring vitamins, minerals, supplements, just CMOS and Shilajit. It just is like God's gift to humanity. At some point, humanity discovers it. And get it at thealexjonesstore.com.
We aren't funded by foreign governments. We're funded by you. And I sell you great products that really work, so you love them. Methylene red capsules are in. Clean daily energy, mental clarity, brain function, focus performance, cellular energy. No crash, no junk, no watered-down formula. Just clean daily support for people who want to stay sharp, focused, keep moving. Our methylene blue is the best. Our methylene red is proprietary. Our Bovine Colostrum is the best. Our Irish Sea Moss is the best. Our Shilajit is the best. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel. It's all at thealexjonesstore.com.
Days
days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.